Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 291, part 1, Nothing. Today is Friday, May 10th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled, Nothing. Tonight we will minister on the sin of doing nothing. Numbers 32 and 23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. But before we expound on this scripture, let's go back into chapter 23 so that we will fully understand it. The Israelites had conquered the land of by Og, king of Bashan, and Shion, king of Amorites, and the two tribes of Reuben and Gad had a lot of cattle. And so they thought, well, hey, this would be a good pasture country for our flocks. How about that? And so they asked Moses, can we stay here and have this country? But Moses objected. Are you hearing this tonight? Do you mean that you want to stay here? This is the question. I mean, let me get this straight. You want to sit here and do nothing more than enjoy this country. I mean, just fall out and fall back and then leave the rest of the tribes to cross the Jordan and to fight for your possessions. Well, if so, he says, that is an evil course to take. You are, in other words, he's saying, you are selfish. You are seeking your own cause. And don't you know, after all, this will discourage God's people? So then Moses proposed to them that if they were to have that conquered country for their very own now, that then they should cross the river and secure property for the rest of the tribes first, because they had promised to do that. They had promised to all stick together for the good of all the tribes. In other words, he's saying, clear out the whole country, then each tribe could then possess its portion. And I thought, well, that's like a lot of us today. We possess our little piece of property, our little piece of land, our little ministry. And so we let the other churches fend for themselves. This is definitely not kingdom planning, kingdom action, or kingdom spirit. And I say that because I know from being down here, there's a lot of churches probably, you're listening on the radio probably now, this tape, that in some way should support a mission ministry just like this. And it's kind of sad in a way, isn't it? Well, it's definitely not kingdom planning, action, or kingdom spirit. It is then the spirit of me, I, and mine, that kind of action. And so, see, he made their decision. He put it to them as a matter of honor. And sometimes you have to do that to folks. Maybe I'll have to do that to the suburbanites. Maybe we'll have to put it to their honor. Maybe we'll have to make an out-and-out appeal, maybe knock at the door. I don't know what it'll take. But he puts it to them as a matter of honor. Like, what do you think is right? Now, that might be a little bit bold. But on the other hand, the truth a lot of times is very bold. And so he puts it to them, what do you think is right? And that they should help conquer the rest of the land. I mean, sometimes you need a little bit of help from your friends. Sometimes there's a job to be done. You got to put it to people. It's a matter of honor. What do you think is right? What do you think is right? Well, right is right and wrong is wrong, isn't it? But anyway, why should they receive their lot without fighting? You know, when you get to heaven, there'll be a lot of questions asked of us. Where were you when? But anyway, he puts it to them, why should they receive their lot without fighting and then leave the other tribes to bear the work and the war and the danger? So it goes in evangelizing and mission work. I think a lot of people come to church today. You're listening on the radio. Don't turn it off. But I believe they know nothing of sharing the burdens of the church. The finances. The going to the highways and to the byways. The challenge of a mission work. Oh, they claim the things that agree with them. But then to take on a workload, no way. What a dirty word work has become. Or become involved, no way. Well, I'd like to, but you know, I got this and that and so on like that. And excuses. I just married a wife, and I can't come to the feast, and I just got some cattle today, and I got to go home and watch them. And so on, they have all these excuses. Oh, they're right there for the concerts. Oh, so-and-so is going to be in town today. I mean, every Christian you can think of will be at them concerts. They will be down there. Yes, siree, Bob. Why to be seen of man? They know everybody's going to be down there that's of any importance at all in the Christian world, and they will be there. Kind of like strutting their stuff. If I may be so bold. Well, when you get my age, you can be a little bold. I'm heading down the stretch. I'm just right around the corner, you know. Well, I'll be there when there's a picnic. Or when there's a volleyball game. Or some kind of a special event. You know what a special event in the kingdom of heaven is? When they look down here, that crowd of witnesses, and they see you doing something for the Lord. Well, I call these the carnal Christians. And I don't care how much they raise their arms and praise the Lord and dance down the aisles. You're not doing something. You're a carnal Christian. And then comes the soulish people. If the music is good, if the message makes them wail and they can frolic and yell and scream and knock off their wigs, if everybody agrees with them, if everybody smiles at them, if they had a vision, if angels are seen in the church, then that was a good service. That pleased them greatly. They want no challenge. They want certainly no conviction, so half of them will turn off this program. We'll turn it back on to see what's happening anyway. They want to be noticed, they want to be appreciated, and they want to be loved. Above all, they want to be loved. And rewarded, but not worked. And they want to stay in the land of self-pleasing forever and ever and ever. Are you hearing this? You can get this tape afterwards. I mean, they have their land. Why worry about somebody else? I mean, I really have everything I need. Why should I worry about anybody else? I have everything I need. Why should I seek something else? Well, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, when you seek the kingdom of God is going to give you some kind of work to do, just like what you do. Isn't that right? Now, if people are all seeking the kingdom of God, I'm going to tell you something. They're all going to be doing something for the Lord, every one of them, if they seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When you seek the kingdom of God, let me tell you, he's going to give you something to do. He's going to say, will you obey me? If you do love me, then obey me. And where were you when? I mean, they have their land. They have what they want to do. They have their ministry. Why worry about anybody else? I mean, they have their own little group. There are so many, talk about groupies. In the world, when bands go out, they have what they call groupies. This little groupie follows this little band over here, this little three, and then they're going, oh, where's this group going? Where's the band playing next week? Oh, they're going to be in Wisconsin. And the group, oh, yay, we'll all go to Wisconsin. And it's the same way with some of us preachers. We have groups. We're out evangelizing. You know, people just follow that preacher around the country. Oh, yeah, I was at that revival, and I was at this revival. You can get this tape after, girls. I was to all of those things. But are you doing anything? You on the radio, I challenge you to get out of your own little group. Oh, we just worry about our group so much. Well, didn't you get invited to the so-and-so? Over to Nancy Lou's house or whatever? But listen, God is the same today, the Bible says, and yesterday and forever. See, God had told them all, A-L-L, all, to go up and to drive out the condemned Canaanites. All of you. So how could they evade their duty without great sin? God would have them take their full share of the war and go on that condition that they could then have the rich grazing land of Bashan. Wasn't that, and isn't that fair? And isn't that just? I mean, after all, isn't that the right thing to do? Isn't it? Now, to a spiritual person, this sounds beautiful and precious and fair. I talk about spiritual person. I mean, a spiritual person is a person that works. See, so much has been preached on the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all of this, and they forgot the gospel altogether, and everybody's, oh, I have the gift of this, and I have the gift of that, and I have discernment. And it doesn't take much discernment to know when somebody's mad. Common sense would tell you to get out of there before you get shot in the head. Huh? Well, I just discerned something was wrong with that fellow. He rolled his car up next to me and he put his gun out the window. And the Lord spoke to me, step on it. No, your foot spoke to you. And see, I'm into all that kind of thing. But when I say spiritual person, you know what I mean? I think a fruit of the Spirit is work. Because the flesh doesn't want to do it. It has to be spiritual. That's where it's at. Working it out. Faith without works is dead. Whew. Are you hearing this message? Well, they at once agreed to the proposal because it was so honest. Well, didn't you say you were going to do this? Weren't we all supposed to do this? Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, I guess Moses is right. And so they at once agreed to the proposal. And Moses, to enforce the agreement, told them in verse 23 of Numbers 32, that if they did not keep their covenant and give the brethren all due aid. No, sometimes aid is due you. You're listening on the radio. Have you paid your dues? All due aid, then their sin was against God. If you don't give them all their due aid, it's due them. Then you're sinning not so much against the brother, you're sinning against God. And that they could be sure of one thing, and what was that? Be sure your sin will find you out. And so, you see, Moses spoke wisely. Are you hearing this, girls? Moses spoke forcibly. I'll give you this tape after. Moses spoke forcibly. I want you to hear this. And sometimes you have to speak forcibly, isn't that right? To get your point across. Moses spoke very honestly. And the people yielded to his persuasions. Did you know that we have the power to persuade? When we're moving in the Holy Ghost, we have the power, hallelujah, the power to persuade. And then the difficulty which caused the trouble and threatened division of the nation was over because he dared to say something. Hey, you have promised that we'll all see this thing unto victory. Now let's have at it. Now you leaders that are listening on the radio, when division comes to visit your ministry, and it will, I'm talking about the spirit of division, deal with it at once. Don't wait on it. When that spirit of division, when you see everybody in the congregation turning around to see what Mr. Prophesier is going to prophesy next, and there's a spirit of division there, deal with it, and deal with it forcibly. Otherwise, you won't be able to carry on your work. That's like you get a third party in your ministry, and you're showing these slides. You have a set way of doing it. And then one gets over and says, you know something? I think we should do it this other way. Well, don't you think it'd be better if you wore all these gowns? Oh, sure, it's 125 degrees, but that doesn't matter. Deal with it, and deal with it immediately, if not sooner. We need wise leaders who will lead and who keep their covenant with the Lord. Now listen, sometimes it isn't easy to keep your covenant with the Lord. Now take it from me, being down here on the north side and doing this type of work down here with hardly any kind of support from the outside world at all. At all, I said. But there is a covenant with the Lord. Will you do it, Paul? Will you do it? Will you do it? Will the body do it? Here I am, Lord, send me. How well I remember those words. I said them myself. I said it, and I was glad, though. But there is a covenant with the Lord, and I don't care who gets in the way of that covenant you made with the Lord. Dismiss them. Say, well, if you don't want to do it, then goodbye. Here's a lunch. Hit the road. Follow? And so I said, we need wise leaders who will lead and who keep their covenant with the Lord and will remind others to do the same. I'm reminding you tonight. I'm reminding you on the radio or this tape. You know what God has told you to do in your ministry, and then someone comes along. Well, do you suppose and do you think that that voice of doubt . So let's start out by praying that the Holy Spirit then would quicken this message. We have, I think, 3 points tonight to consider. Number one, what was the sin? Number two, what is the chief sin of that sin? If you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. Thirdly, what would be the consequences of such a sin? Be sure your sin will find you out. God will find out. You said you're going to do it, you didn't do it. He made a covenant with me. He didn't do it. Found some kind of excuse. Took off. Well, they would be guilty and they wouldn't get by without being punished. Number one, what was that sin God spoke through Moses about? Be sure your sin will find you out. Well, we've all heard sermons on murder, haven't we? About Moses, you remember, David. We've all heard sermons on lust and stealing and hate and rebellion and envy and so on. And they can all be under one heading, be sure your sin will find you out. But then this text says nothing about murder, and it says nothing about lust and thieving and hate and rebellion and envy and so on. No, it doesn't. This text is about men who don't do anything. What men do not do. That's what this whole message is about. This is what this scripture is about. And so the sin of doing nothing is the sin we're going to look at tonight. And I think it's one of the worst sins there is. To know to do good and do it not is sin. To evade responsibilities. To not be a leader when you're called to be a leader. And to sort of fall back and listen to this voice and that voice, and I think you should take off, and maybe you belong in Africa. You know, you send tapes over there. Have you ever thought about going to Indochina? Yeah, I've thought about it. Yeah. Every time I look at the map, I wonder how it'd be over there, but I haven't been sent there. I don't know what good I'd be there. If God didn't send me there, I'd be no good. The sin of doing nothing, a sin of omission, is in this warning. If ye will not do so, be sure your sin will find you out. Now listen, this message is for the born again believers today. Just as it was for God's own people then. It's not for the Egyptians. It's not for the world. They love to sin. They've been called to it. There's nothing wrong with it for them to do it. God says don't judge them. They're under judgment already, and that's what they want to do. That's a natural thing for them to do. It's a natural thing for all the flesh to do, isn't it? It runs greedily, the Bible says, towards it. Loves it. Runs right into the traps. Yeah, and this message is not for the Philistines, but it is the sin of God's chosen nation in you and I now. It is for the professed Christians and the churchgoers that this text is aimed at. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's aimed at you and me. It's aimed at you that are born again listening to this radio broadcast. Or listening to this tape, it's aimed at us. Doing nothing. Oh, may it convict. Well, what is that sin, you say? Well, it's sad to say it, but I'll tell you, it's a sin very common among professed Christians, and we need to face it. We need to deal with it. We need a leader that will say something. Oh. It is a sin which leads many to forget that they are to share in a holy war. You have a share in this. We see all of these things going on TV. It's total tearing down of each other. Well, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, We see some people on TV, their sin found them out. What do? You forgive them. Well, how about the people that are making an open show of this? Is there a sin there? Yeah, there is. Love covers a multitude of sins. Where's the covering? And I think even right now, the world before the Christians is beginning to see the folly of this. That's evident with the vote of confidence for Oliver North. And for the president. People are tired of it. Now, we all share in a holy war. And the world has their war going on. And we're all to engage in it. It is not one man's fight or one body's fight. It's everybody's battle when people are hungry. When people don't have a place to stay. I mean, in this affluent country right now. Come on now, come on, come on, come on. I don't care. Somebody's got to say something. Don't we all share in a holy war? And then I'll have people come in and they say, well, I'm just going to go before my church and I'm going to tell them this and blah, blah, blah. And they should just come down and we'll just, I say, I'm going to commence to tell people. You know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, why do you want to go tell your church? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you get into your own personal pocket? This is your war. This is our war. Isn't there a thing called war on poverty? Boy, is that a losing war. When you look at Ethiopia, when you look at China and Cambodia, when little children are running through, I'm talking about millions of skeletons of people and kids climbing over their heads, knee-deep in skulls. Isn't that damnable? Isn't this then a holy war? And where, by the way, is the gospel in all of this? Why are there so many personalities involved in it? Personalities with personal mads and personal hurts and get on. It's a holy war, and it's all of you are all involved. And so let's look at the list of wrongs in this crime. I think first and foremost is self-indulgence. The sin of idleness. We, listen to these, we have cattle. Here is the land that yields much pasture. Let us, have this for our cattle. They're already taking possession. And we will build folds for our sheep with abundant stones that lie about. And we will repair these cities of the Amorites, and we will dwell in them. Well. Leaving everybody out, and we are just going to, we don't want, just to take care of ourselves and mind our own business. Let's don't get involved. I just don't want to get involved. Don't I mean I just said no. We have flocks here, and here's a city, and here we are, lovely people that we are. I mean, we're just fantastic. And let's just go over here and have a nice fellowship and build on this little piece of property here and sing and praise the Lord and all of this and everything. But let's, for gosh sake, don't do anything. Let's just mind our own business. You know what happens when people mind their own business? They become mean and cantankerous and gossipy. That's their business. That is their first and their foremost and their personal revelation. Himself. We, us, We will dwell in them. I mean, after all, they're just sitting here, these cities. I'm tired. Let's just move in. Paint here and paint it up, fix it up, put a few little artifacts of our own in here, you know, and put some of the things like what you have, and put all those artifacts in this, you know. Why go on? The cities are here and they've been chased out of here. Let's just stay here. You know? Yeah, and just be comfortable. It's almost ready for us, isn't it? And then our little ones, and then you always use our little ones. Our little ones can live here in comfort. Don't people use their babies a lot? Well, can you come on? No, baby's got a cold. Well, baby's got dirty panties. baby's fussy. That's during baby's nap. Well, when there's something they want to do, huh? They'll almost go so far as chaining that kid to the bedpost and go do it. And baby doesn't have nothing to say about it. He can stick out his lip like limp pieces of calf liver and bawl until his eyes look like a little bird that fell out of a tree with no feathers, and it won't do him no good, because it's something that mom wants to do. Is that right? Oh yes, mom, you're listening on the radio. Oh yeah, but baby, huh? Praise God for the school system. Get some of these moms up out of bed with them great big old pop cans in their hair. About the only thing that gets some of you gals out of bed is a court order. Got to be bold. Got to be bold, sisters. It's the truth, though, isn't it? I mean, our little ones can live here in comfort. This is ideal. We don't want to fight, do we? Now you ask some people if they don't want to fight, and just give them a little hint that they don't have to, and they're all going to raise, yeah, that's right, amen, amen. You tell somebody something they want to hear, they'll amen you right out of the place. And after all, we've had enough fighting. Haven't you, Charlie? Yeah, I certainly have. Almost got stuck one time. No way. I'm not going to press my luck. I'm not going in for a second shot at it. After all, we just want to settle down in a nice, quiet little church. I had a quiet, nice, quiet little church. It was so quiet you could hear the mosquitoes when they lit on you and bit you. Out there in Noble Mountain. No, it was 10255 Noble Avenue. I mean, that's as far as you can go before you hit the cornfields. But we don't want to fight. We've had enough of fighting. We just want to settle down in a nice, quiet little church, you know.
There you have it. That was episode 291. That was part one of nothing. Yeah, that's what I said. Part one of nothing. Be sure to listen to the conclusion to nothing on Sunday, which is Mother's Day. And that's something. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be ambitious. businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. A young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.